You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, church. Welcome to Church Online. Well, we're coming around the word of the God, or the word of the Lord this morning, and it is part two of Anchors in the Storm. Are you ready to get into the word this morning? Well, this was it. Paul was now setting sail for Rome. His dream, 25 years of trusting God. With the word of God anchored deep within his spirit, he was now set to sail. My friends, what dream has God spoken into your hearts? How long have you been waiting, hoping, and trusting God with his dream for your life? Just as the word of God was deep in the heart of Paul, his words are going to go deep into your spirit today. Why? Because the Spirit of God wants to greatly encourage you and teach you what the journey of his dream looks like in your life. Well, Paul is on a ship full of sailors, full of prisoners, with a total of 276 men on board. But Paul, he wasn't the captain. He wasn't even a sailor. He was one of the prisoners. Sounding like a dream already? His journey starts from Turkey to Myra to Fair Havens to a massive storm and shipwreck. But those same 276 men landed safely on the island of Malta. Then 3 months later, Paul gets his dream of standing in Rome. Do we trust the one who is able to pilot us through those tempestuous seas? Paul prevailed. Do you hear me this morning, church? Paul prevailed, and so can you and I. Paul's journey of small beginnings, helping men to find the source of their courage in the storm, getting to safety, and finally standing in his dream. This morning, church, God will not fail. Can I say that to you again? God will not fail you. The testimony of the seas you have crossed will be your story of his journey in your life. So let's start with Paul. He's in Turkey. He's about to set sail. And this is small beginnings. Does it sound like your dream where it starts with small beginnings? Well, this time of year, sailing was hard and it came with great difficulty. Those prevailing westerly winds. This was a time when sailing ceased for the winter. But Paul, he was living his dream, a small ship with a little company to carry his dream. But the rest of the sailors and prisoners, they didn't realize what God was going to do, and it was going to be more than they could have ever dreamed or imagined. And his revelation, God's revelation, was going to be richly revealed through the life of Paul to their lives. This is why God's dream for your life will reach everyone. And it's going to be God's grace for all and to all. Ephesians 3:20 from the Passion Translation says it like this. Will you read with me? Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Zechariah says this in 4:10. Will you read with me again? Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hands. And I started to think, well, what is this plumb line and why is Zerubbabel handing it? Do I need to be holding a plumb line? You know, the purpose of a plumb line is to determine a straight vertical line. When the cord string is held up with the weight dangling at the bottom, the result is a straight line. It is used during construction to ensure that the work is being done straight. Why? So we can lay the foundation on a solid, straight ground. Holding the plumb line also indicates the most direct route from top to bottom. You know, the plumb line, it doesn't change or move with the whims of the builder. It remains true, and all the work must line up according with it. So who holds the plumb line of your vision, of your dream? Well, it's God. God holds the plumb line in your dream. Zechariah 4:4 says this, Zerubbabel is seeing this incredible vision. He's having this dream. And he says, then the angel who had been talking with me returned and woke me as though I had been asleep. And he said to me, Zerubbabel, what do you see now? So Zerubbabel told him everything he saw. We often can see the picture, but isn't it so hard at times to be able to interpret the details of it? And then Zerubbabel said, I said to the angel, what are these, my Lord? I'm not quite sure what it all means. What does my vision mean? And the angel said, don't you know? And he said, well, no, my Lord, I don't know. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to you, Zerubbabel. It's never going to be by force that you're going to attain your dream. It's not going to be by strength that you make this vision to happen, but it is going to be by my spirit, Zerubbabel. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in your way. It will become a level plain before you. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, because it's the people that are seeing the dream and the vision in your life. May God bless it, they shout. May God bless it. Grace and grace to it. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple. Zerubbabel, you're going to be the one to complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Luke 3, 5-7 says it like this. There is a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked, winding roads, they shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. What does this mean? Jesus has come to make the curved, winding places that sometimes take us off course straight. From disease to complete healing, from anxiety to perfect peace that even surpasses our understanding, from confusion to absolute truth that sets you free. It's free for all the people on your journey. He comes to make the curved, winding places straight. Proverbs 3, 5-6 says this, trust in the Lord completely. My friends, this morning, you can trust in the Lord completely. We don't have to rely on our own opinions. With all of our heart, we can rely on him to guide our vision, to guide your dream. And he, Jesus Christ, will lead you in every decision that you make. Become intimate. Listen to this, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you and he will make your path straight wherever you go. So what does this mean for you and I today? I'm so glad that you asked. God's dream will never just transform and affect your life alone. It's there for all. All 276 of those men that were on that ship sailing with Rome to Paul, God wanted to reveal his grace to every single person. Prisoners, sailors' hearts that were in need of truth and peace, healing and a savior. God was coming to reveal himself. That's why he says, I will do more than what you could ever dreamed or imagine. God's dream is for all. And so here they arrive at Port Fairhavens. In your dream, in your vision that God has laid on your heart, let me tell you, in the season you will come to Port Fairhavens. From Turkey, they sailed through to Myra, but the wind would not let them follow the most direct route. Does that sound familiar? So they went with the wind and were driven south to Crete. But they only got halfway to Fairhavens Port. With much effort, they didn't get as far as they wanted to. Acts 27, 7-9 says this, we had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus, but the wind was against us. Verse 8, so we struggled along the coast with great difficulty, and we finally arrived at Fair Havens. Verse 9, we had lost a lot of time. Fair Havens was not a fair place. They tried to get people to visit Fair Havens, which normally everybody tried to avoid doing. The sailors knew that they would not be able to reach Rome before winter. They would have to winter somewhere, but not Fair Havens, anywhere but Fair Havens. In Fair Havens, there was nothing to do, in their opinion. If we get stuck in Fair Havens, it's going to be a long, hard, boring winter. You know, we will all have seasons in our journey at Port Fair Havens, a place where nothing seems to happen, a place that makes you feel stuck when you already feel that you have lost so much time, a place where things don't seem fair. No one wanted to get stuck there but Paul. Why? Because Paul had perceived that in this place, this was going to be the right season for them all. But they all wanted to sail someone better. Acts 27:10 to 11 says this. Paul says to the men, I perceive that this voyage, if you go, if you leave, it will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. You know, in Greek, perceive, it means to know by experience and learn through observation. It also means to be able to translate. Paul was perceiving in the Spirit of God what God could see up ahead, what the men could not see in their present. What seemed like the place that you would be stuck was to be the very place of protection. But when perceived in God, this was actually going to be a place of no distraction. We might not always find it easy to perceive what God's saying, but taking time to figure it out in the place of no distractions gives you the discernment. It gives you the understanding and the knowledge to translate not only what God is saying to you, but what he's saying to the other lives around you. But they knew better, and they wouldn't listen to Paul. The problem is when you don't listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, when we choose to ignore wisdom by not taking time to listen to God and wait on him for him to translate the vision, we move out of God's protection because we move from his words to stand on our own words. Your season of Fair Havens in your journey, it is the place of no distraction. It is the place of listening. But it's the place you learn how to translate God's word for you. The helmsmen, the men, they knew better than Paul. There was a nicer port further along the coast, a place called Phoenix, things where there's atmosphere and stuff is happening. So when the conditions looked good, not listening to Paul, what could possibly go wrong? What was Paul talking about? The wind was gentle and it was blowing freely. They thought the sailors, they could make it. But the weather changed. Acts 27:13 says, when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought that they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength burst across the island and blew us further out to sea. Incredible. They didn't listen. They had made the wrong choice and they had to incur the consequences of their choice. But let's look at God's faithful grace. There in the middle of this storm, there in the middle of the storm, God is still speaking grace. Even when we don't listen, my friends, in the middle of your storm, God will still speak grace into your heart and to your life. Acts 27:21 says this, after they had gone a long time without food. Listen, my friends, they'd been in this storm for 14 days, seeing neither the sun nor the stars. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and this loss. But now I urge you, keep up your courage. I urge you, men, keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Last night, he said to the men, "An angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve, he came and stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. I've got a plan for you in Rome, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. But we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" Look at Paul, gracious and tender and responsive to their discouragement, even though they didn't listen. Paul comes with incredible words of hope, not sharp but tender, not harsh, but encouraging. May we learn to really know the voice of our Father. For each and every one of us, times which we haven't listened, God still speaks to us, instilling courage within us that our dream is still very much alive. Will we allow him to make the crooked places of our hearts straight, where we may not have listened and have incurred loss? May we respond and receive his grace and mercy that sets us straight back on course. May we have the confidence to silence those who react harshly towards us, because this is not the way of our Father. His mercy is real, and we may have moved from him, but he has never moved from you, my friend. Psalm 103 verse 8 says this, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger." Hear me, friends, slow to anger, abounding in love. So what does this mean for you and I? Take courage, my friend. If you didn't find it easy to listen the first time and you wanted to go your own way and you've incurred loss, his word will always come to you time and time again. His word that will direct you to your dream. Can I encourage you to respond to God when he speaks, because his grace, his ability, his might, his strength is for you to receive. Psalm 32:8 says, the Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you." Psalm 37:23 says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." So from shipwrecked from this storm to safe land. Acts 28 verse 1, all 276 of us land safely on shore. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. And the islanders showed us unusual kindness. Here they've come from a storm to a shipwreck, and now all 276 men have landed safely on shore, and they're being shown unusual kindness. There was an estate, verse 7, nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the land of Malta. He welcomed us, all of us, to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father at the time was so severely sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, look at this, after prayer, Paul placed his hands on him and he was completely healed. When this happened, the rest of the sick of the whole island of Malta came to Paul and were completely cured, completely restored and healed. They honored us in so many ways. And when we were ready to sail for Rome, they furnished us with all the supplies we needed. Look at the lives that have been influenced. Look at the lives that have been affected. Although being shipwrecked, God's word is true, not just for your life, but for every single lives that you come in to transform with the grace news of the gospel. On his journey to his dream, 276 men's lives were saved and transformed. Transformation, testimonies that were bound in these 276 men for Rome. The good news of the gospel was in them, bound for Rome, to spread to every person that they now came into contact with. The whole island of Malta, the rest of the people on the island that were sick, came and completely cured, set free and restored. Imagine leaving a whole island completely set free, cured and restored with the healing power of Jesus. Supplies that they needed to get to Rome were given to them. They had everything they could need and more. You see, God's dream for your life, it's never just about you. It's for you and for the many of the lives that you come into contact with. This is how you know that it's God's dream for your life, because it's always about you and everybody else around you. So what does this mean for us when we're on the journey of God's dream in our hearts? Do not despise, my friends, small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. What he starts in you, he will complete it. You're going to come to a place of fair havens where things don't seem fair. But what seems like nothing is happening was the very place for us to listen without the distractions and to learn how to interpret and understand what it is that God is saying to us. It's not enough just to see the vision. It's not enough just to have the dream. God wants you to understand it. He wants to make your steps ordered so you know the details of how to get there. When you don't listen the first time and you've incurred loss, it's not over. My friends, it's not over. God's grace in you still remains firm. God's words, they are full of mercy. They are full of compassion and they are full of love. And they're speaking to you right now. Shipwrecked. We all incur shipwrecks in our lives sometimes, not literally, but those incredible emotional storms in our lives. In the natural world, everything was lost, but here's the promise. Here's the good news. Everything in the natural was lost, but they remained standing. In life, things will come and go, but God remains the same. Learn what to let go of. Learn by the Spirit what to take hold of. They lost the ship because it's not the natural that's going to get you to a God-breathed dream. It is the Spirit of God that's in your life. It's His dream too. A shipwreck, but they were still on track where they arrived safely on the island of Malta. Seeing everybody restored, seeing everybody set free and cured, knowing the love and the miracle healing power of Jesus that these men and women had never known. 25 years for Paul to see his dream of Rome. And guess what today, church? I can tell you that Paul did see his dream fulfilled. 3 months later from Malta, he was standing in Rome. Paul preached the gospel unhindered. He was hindered in the natural, still under house arrest, still a prisoner for 2 years. But let me tell you, he may have been hindered in the natural, but he was not unhindered in the spiritual. He wasn't alone in Rome. When he stood in Rome, he was not alone. There was the 276 other lives who have been saved and transformed, who were telling their stories of how God saved them. When hope was lost, God saved them and encountered them. And they were now set for Rome, spreading the testimonies of the good news of a loving God. We're still telling our stories today. We're still telling our stories today of how God saved us with this message of grace and love. And can I encourage you this morning that your testimony is powerful. Your testimony speaks of great restoration and God's love. And it is going to transform every single life around you because that is God's dream for your life. I want to take a moment to pray for everybody here. And I want you to imagine that dream. Imagine what God has spoken into your spirit that you've been longing for, that you've been faithfully waiting for. And I want you to allow God just to speak into your spirit. Just as he did to Zerubbabel, he made that vision clear and he wants to make it clear to you exactly where you're at on your journey and what he wants to do, not only in your life, but the life of others. Will you pray with me? Dear Holy Spirit, you are the counselor. You are the teacher. You are the guide. And you are the one who always takes us straight to Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is all truth. And when we know the truth, the Bible says, the truth shall set us free. So Father God, I pray for small beginnings. It might seem insignificant at times, but to God, small beginnings, he's rejoicing that the work has begun. We all come to that place of Fair Havens where it seems an injustice. It seems that we're losing time and our dream is slipping away, but this is the most incredible time. A place of no distractions, a place where we can hear the words of our Father gently directing, gently leading us to where we need to get to. It's this place. It's this place where we translate the dream through the power and the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray where we haven't listened at times, can I remind you this morning, your dream is still very much alive. Would you turn to a God that has never moved from you? And would you receive his grace and his mercy? Would you receive his words that are going to greatly encourage you and put courage deep in your spirit again? And can we realize that when we come to that time of the island of Malta where we're so close to our dream and we may want to rush it, may we stand and pause and realize what God is doing, not only in our life, but the lives of a whole island. Lives of people, lives of families that are going to carry on from generation to generation, telling the story of how God healed them. So, Father, we just pray for every single dream and we declare in our hearts and minds today that we are anchored. We are anchored in the Word of God. We are anchored to the love of God. We are anchored by the grace of God. And in Jesus' name we pray. We may not be there yet, but we know exactly how to influence and bring the gospel where we're at in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, this morning you may be searching today. Searching for God. You might have known him as a child or experienced him as a teenager, but for some of your life, you may have walked away, but there's been this searching deep in your heart where you want to find out, is God really real? Is he truth? Is he love? And if he is, I want to experience. Can I encourage you, if you are searching for Jesus Christ this morning, all you have to do is say, God, reveal yourself to me. Reveal your love to me. Speak to me, God. I am listening. I'm waiting for you to reveal yourself to me. And if your heart is searching this morning, I promise you, my friend, God will love to reveal himself for you. But for some of us out there, will you say, I want to have Jesus in my heart. I don't want to walk this journey alone. I don't want my family to be living without the truth of a loving Savior. Can you tell me, Naomi, tell me, how can I receive Jesus into my heart so that I'm never going to be alone without him? Can I tell you, my friend, Romans 10:9 says it like this. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that you'll be saved. Do you know what that means? It means to never be separated from the love of God. It means that even though our bodies will pass away, you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ, with a loving Savior. He wants to be grace in your life. He wants to be your strength and your ability in your storms. And so if you're wanting that, and you'd like to pray this prayer for the first time, inviting Jesus into your heart, all of us here at church right now, we're going to pray this prayer. And if you'd like to receive Jesus, would you pray along this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God, you raised him from the dead. And because of this, I have eternal life. Amen. Well, here's the most amazing thing. We never want you to walk this journey alone. We want to be able to show you the Word of God, the Bible, that gives you incredible truth and direction. It gives you words of His compassion and mercy that will change your life forever. And so if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, we're going to give you all the resources to walk that journey with you. And so in Jesus' name, we just pray that this word blesses you this morning. Keep your dream alive, my friend. This week, allow the Holy Spirit to breathe revelation, His words into your life so that your vision, your dream, it's not just for you, it's for all those around you, may be stirred again. In Jesus' name, amen.